You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Stay a while if you can. You can watch on Peacock, and that's our TV partner. All 3 hours available free. Download the app. And we say good morning to our radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 370 cities. Got some information from Michelle Tafoya, the great sideline reporter for Football Night in America, now Football Afternoon in America, with the game coming up later on this afternoon in Pittsburgh. She says the game she believes will be played, although the Ravens are being tested this morning. She did say that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram will not be playing. They did not make the trip to Pittsburgh, so you're going to third and fourth string running backs there. The Ravens have until 12:30 Eastern to make any roster moves. She also mentioned that the long snapper for Justin Tucker is not playing in this game, so they have a backup there, just something to file away. As it stands right now, for entertainment purposes only, the Steelers are 10.5-point favorites. But history, if it's any indication, they usually play close games. 20 of the last 27 games that these two teams have played have been decided by 7 points or less. You go back to 2007. We expect that, but usually that's with a Ravens team that's fully assembled and has always been competitive, and the same with the Steelers. It's rare when these two teams, any of these, or either of these two teams, have a down year, but 20 of the last 27 have been decided by 7 points or less. RG3 is set to make his start in place of Lamar Jackson today. Ben Roethlisberger has won his last 8 starts against former Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. The last time he lost to a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Carson Palmer and the Raiders in 2012. The only quarterback with a longer such winning streak all time is Tom Brady. He's won 11 consecutive games against former Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. So Ben has beaten Robert Griffin Jr. III, Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, Baker Mayfield, Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Who even thinks of the stat to come up with the stat? That's what I'm always amazed at, where somebody goes, hey, did you know, here's a stat for you? And I go, first of all, who thought of the stat to go get the stat? That's what I'm impressed by. Yes, Paulie.
I'm still fascinated by Robert Griffin's career. In 2012, he goes 9-6 as a rookie with Washington, which is, you know, like going 15-1 with any other team. 20 touchdowns, 5 picks, Pro Bowl, gets all the endorsements that Andrew Luck passed on. And I know he had injuries, but it feels like he's just in this holding pattern of being a career backup, and he's only 30 years old. It feels like he's never gotten another shot.
But I don't know what happened to him as far as his speed, because he had world-class speed. And I remember watching a Washington game in the early stages of his career, and he went around the left side, and he hit a different gear. And then I went, that's different. But I don't know the injuries that, you know, with surgeries, what that took away from him. Because you would have thought if he still had that and still has the ability in today's NFL, where you almost welcome in that style, would RG3 be able to be successful? At times he's made poor decisions based off his health or putting his health in jeopardy on the field. But I don't know what he's, you know, if teams look at him and go, he is just a backup quarterback. He's just an insurance policy. He's not somebody who can lead your offense for a prolonged period of time. Yeah, Paul.
His rookie year, he ran for almost 900 yards and 7 touchdowns. Yep. If I would have told you after that year that neither he nor Andrew Luck would make the Hall of Fame, you probably would have bet against both that bet. You would probably bet on both our future Hall of Famers.
Well, I would have Andrew Luck. I think RG3 got a bad label in college, where I don't know if people looked at him and said that he was a legitimate quarterback. But if you watched him, he could throw the deep ball. And he did have a lot of weapons at Baylor. But he was known for his legs. He was known for that ability to turn a 5-yard, 10-yard game into a 60-yard game. But you get to the NFL and you start running and not running out of bounds, or you start taking on linebackers, you're not going to last. And he's made a couple of those very poor decisions. Yes, he.
Wasn't that, I might have the details of this a little wrong, but when he finally came back from that knee injury, wasn't it in one of his first games back, or maybe his first game back, that he's running down the sideline and brought his shoulder right into whoever was trying to tackle him, and that's put him out for the rest of the season? Like his next injury, that shoulder injury, was another, like, where you're like, dude, just slide. What are you taking that contact for? And he, like, initiated it.
He did it a couple of times. And I kept thinking, you know, and I've been around RG3, and he looks like he weighs 180 pounds. And he was taking on these linebackers. And I kept thinking, you have the speed to get out of bounds. You don't get extra credit if you take on a linebacker. You don't. You know, in the tough guy department, good luck with that. Because the tough guy department is filled with a bunch of guys who thought they were tough and now they're injured. You go in there and you got like, wow, this is a crowded room. Yeah, he thought he was tough. Yeah, he thought he was tough.
And they're all fighting each other.
Yes, McLovin.
But we fool ourselves with this model every time, right? Lamar Jackson takes on linebackers, like, and we think he's going to last, and he's not. Like, it's only worked once, and that's Russell Wilson. You can't run for 800 yards in a season and not get shoulder surgery. Doesn't it catch up to everybody?
Yes, but it depends on how you're used. If you have design runs, you know, Cam, I thought, as big as he was, you could have design runs for him in Carolina because he was as big, if not bigger, than some of the defensive players he was going against. But I still don't want my quarterback taking on a defensive player because they're trained to hit you and hurt you. And as a running back or a quarterback who's running, you're not as trained as a running back would be to then give a blow back. And that's what running backs would do. They would deliver a blow back to the defensive player. We'll never see Cam of 2015. And maybe that's not even fair to him. But at some point, those hits take a toll. And just by sheer attrition, you know, you slow down. And when you slow down, there's a younger guy coming in who speeds up, and then you're in trouble. But RG3 did capture the football world's imagination when he first started out. And we'll see how he plays today. I hope he plays well. Like, I want to see a competitive game. I just don't know if we are, because Pittsburgh should be great today. And Baltimore's coming in. Probably you have players introducing themselves to other players on the team today. And this is a big game for Baltimore. Obviously, Pittsburgh wants to go undefeated. They want to have the number one seed. Baltimore is just trying to hold on and make a playoff. And who would have thought that beginning of the year? Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think if Pittsburgh lost, the narrative would be that they sort of got screwed over by the league because, you know, as we've said all week, they're out of rhythm? Would that be a problem? Like, could it be a huge asterisk loss?
I don't know if we're going to attach that. Pittsburgh at home with being rested, well rested, they don't have to travel. They didn't have to deal with COVID. They have two positive tests. Baltimore doesn't know who they're going to have. And they were the ones that had to travel to Pittsburgh. There was going to be Thursday. It was going to be a Sunday. It was going to be a Monday. It was going to be a Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday afternoon. There's no excuses for Pittsburgh in this situation. Baltimore has some excuses, but that doesn't matter in the win and loss column. It just doesn't. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Get some phone calls in here. By the way, coming up, we'll talk to Pat Forty. I was watching the College Football Playoffs Selection Committee show last night, hosted by Reese Davis, and I didn't expect any information, any headlines there. As I said in the first hour, I was just curious about Iowa State. They beat Texas. Are they moving up? I was curious about Cincinnati. Cincinnati didn't have a game last weekend. BYU, I was curious about them. And all of a sudden, Kirk Herbstreit then says the following.
I still think Michigan waves the white flag, potentially avoids playing Ohio State next week. And then, David, they'll potentially get a game on the 19th. They could be sitting there with six games. And Michigan, is that fair, David? Michigan could opt out, basically, of that game and keep Ohio State out of six games to qualify for the Big Ten championship. That doesn't make sense to me. But I think a lot of people wanted to see where Ohio State would be.
If he used a different expression than raise and wave the white flag and opting out, if he said, hey, I wonder if Michigan, and I'm only going by what my source told me after this, when he saw what Herbie had to say, and I texted him and I said, wow. Because yesterday at this time, I had told you that Michigan might not be able to play or field a team, a competitive team to face Ohio State. And then they might not be able to play. And in the process, they wouldn't be humiliated by Ohio State. And therefore, Ohio State would not qualify to play for the Big Ten championship. That's what my source said yesterday. Herbie just went too far. Where you say they're going to wave the white flag. So you're going to surrender. You don't want to be embarrassed. You're going to opt out of this. Not based off COVID, you're opting out. My source said and followed up this morning by saying Michigan might not be able to field a competitive team against Ohio State. We still don't know if Ohio State's playing this weekend against Michigan State. And that's something to factor in as well. It's only Wednesday. They won't have their coach. They won't have some marquee players. And from what my source said, they're doing everything they can possibly do to get this game in. Yeah, Seton.
So now, granted, we didn't hear the whole segment there, so I want to be fair to that. But, you know, he did say, I still think. He didn't say, like, well, you know, I'm being told Michigan is going to wave the white flag. He said that I still think Michigan waves the white flag. Is there any difference in that?
Well, he said that some coaches have said there are teams that are opting out, avoiding playing other teams. So I think coupled with that, you know, this is based off Florida State and Clemson. And my source even said yesterday, you know, Herbie's sons play for Clemson. He probably was talking to Dabo, and Dabo's still, in the poll on his soapbox saying, hey, Florida State didn't want to play us. And is Michigan giving the presentation that they don't want to play Ohio State? They may not want to play Ohio State, but I can't imagine that they would go, how do we get out of not playing them? COVID. That's it. I can't imagine that Jim Harbaugh would say, or his players would say that. But Herbie did walk it back and say, look, I don't have any information on this. This was just, you know, my opinion on this. And I apologize. And it was a lengthy apology there, but he did walk it back. But I'm just going on what my source said yesterday. If Michigan can't field a competitive team, will they play this game? And if they don't play this game, they don't get humiliated by Ohio State, and they keep Ohio State from playing in the Big Ten championship. So one shouldn't have something have to do with the other things. Are you able to field a competitive team? How is COVID impacting your team? Then, as a result, you won't get humiliated and Ohio State doesn't get to play another game. But I think you got to start with being fair to Michigan with COVID, with the number of positives that they have. And then Ohio State doesn't even have their head coach this weekend. Ryan Day tested positive. And I don't know how many more positives you're going to have the rest of this week. It's only Wednesday morning. And there is a distinct possibility, as I told you on Monday. My source said that you're going to have the Northwestern game is, you know, going to be in jeopardy, and so is Ohio State's game. Well, Northwestern's game got canceled. And now we're seeing if Ohio State's able to get this game in against Michigan State. Yes, Paul.
I can remember we did the show in mid-September when the Big Ten laid out their schedule after they paused everything. And we were discussing, how cool is this? Michigan versus Ohio State in early December. It'll be snowing. They could be playing for the Big Ten title. One of the two will be going to the national title game. It's completely changed. Like, it doesn't even feel like it feels like a relevant game, but not a good football game.
Are we going to stay with the poll question, McLevin?
Yeah, I put up the NBA. You can only watch one Christmas Day game. And it's actually, there's a runaway leader early. Lakers-Mavs, no big surprise. But then Warriors-Bucks is number two. That kind of surprises me.
Well, I think people want to see Steph Curry. We want to see what Milwaukee looks like now. And is that enough to keep Giannis there? I heard from a basketball source with the Miami Heat last night. And I said, what are the possibilities of getting the Greek Freak? And my source said, look, it's really in their minds, this is a real possibility here. Like they're going in and looking at what is plan B, and Bradley Beal is plan B. But they think that they're still going to be in play for the Greek Freak. It really hinges on how well they do this year. Does the Greek Freak feel like this team can compete for a championship? And that's why you're nervous in Milwaukee. Because if you're going to go back to the playoffs and bow out early again, then I don't know if the Greek Freak's going to go, this is where I want to be. This was an extremely important offseason for Milwaukee. I don't know if Drew Holiday changes how good this team is. I still thought Chris Paul made the most sense. He's an experienced player. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's coming off a great year. He'll give you toughness, leadership. I know he hasn't won anything, but, man, I would feel a whole lot more confident with Chris Paul in there, even at his age, than I would with anybody else. Drew Holiday is a good two-way player, but Chris Paul can be a special player when you need him to be, and I think Milwaukee needed that in the postseason. Because they became very, very predictable. And the Miami Heat knew exactly what to do. They set up a wall, and they basically were stopping the penetration of the Greek Freak. And they didn't let him get transition baskets. And that would be the big concern here. But the Miami Heat think they're in play for the Greek Freak. They really do. And if Bradley Beal would become available, then they would be in, in the sweepstakes for Bradley Beal, which would be interesting to add him. I thought Golden State was going to go after Bradley Beal. I thought that that might be, you know, with Klay Thompson out, but Kelly Oubre is who they went after, and it would be easier to unload Kelly Oubre when Thompson comes back, as opposed to Steph and Bradley Beal and Thompson in there and Draymond, even though that'd be a fun lineup there. But that's just some of the things that I found out yesterday and last night. All right, and I watched college basketball last night, or at least something that sort of resembled that. And you had these teams, Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, and Kentucky. These are the blue bloods. And I go, okay, roll them out. Let's see what we got here. It was not good basketball. Not at all. Kansas, Kentucky? Yikes. Close game. Not a good game. And then Michigan State beat Duke. We'll talk to Pat Forty. Forty was at the Kansas-Kentucky game. We'll talk to him about this Ohio State situation as well. He'll join us coming up on loan from Sports Illustrated. We'll get to your phone calls as well. And I think that's it. Anything else I need to mention here, Paulie?
Well, the Army-Navy situation has taken a turn. We could hold it, but...
Wait, what do you mean a turn?
For us, it's all about us. We would like to attend the Army-Navy football game, but seating is limited.
Seating is limited? Why?
I don't know. It's Army-Navy. It's at Mikey Stadium at West Point.
Okay, but if I put all the cadets in there, it seems like there's room for two people, me and you.
I know. We've asked, and the official response came in today. The people we usually work with at Army said, we are talking to the higher-ups, in quotes.
Higher-ups.
And I don't know if that means like a general.
Like a four-star general or something?
Yeah.
General Petraeus or somebody?
I mentioned that my dad was in the Army. That didn't get anywhere. Nothing. And
don't mention my dad was in the Marines.
I didn't. Okay. But I mentioned that you've gone to Army games probably like 9 years in a row.
Yes. Maybe more. And I went to the Air Force Academy on a recruiting trip.
Right. That may hurt you. That you did not bring your talents to Army.
I was not smart enough to get into West Point. My brother got waitlisted.
At West Point?
Yeah.
Oh, what a thrill.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, we were really excited. Like, we didn't have any moments, like educational moments in my household, but like when my brother, you got waitlisted, man. That's awesome.
What if they make us do like 50 push-ups outside Mikey Stadium right before the game just to make sure we're worthy?
50.
50 combined.
You do 40 and I do 10.
We have trouble.
Okay, so you have an update, or is that the update?
That's the update, that they're trying to get tickets plural. We may be able to get more than two or none. That's what I'm hearing from the higher ups.
More than two or none. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Can't they give you general admission?
Oh, don't make jokes. Don't make jokes.
Well, I'd like
to ruin it for you guys today.
I'd like to sit in a private area.
Oh,
there's a kernel of truth in what.
We're gonna get corporal punishment if we keep talking like this.
Let's take
keep
a break.
This conversation private. Oh, you already said private. Sorry.
Damn it.
Let's take a break. Pat Forty will join us, and we're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Mercedes-Benz has done it again. The Mercedes-Benz van. Saw this thing. You seen those Sprinter vans? those Mercedes vans. Whew.
Good for tailgating?
Oh, man, they are all awesome. Tricked out. We'd go cross-country in this one. They offer a variety of powerful and efficient vans that can run on your choice of either gas or diesel. The durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter and versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. It'd be great to take one of these up to West Point next weekend. The cutting-edge options, blind spot assist, rear cross traffic alert. They got active lane keeping assist. They got mobile hotspot, Wi-Fi, tracking capabilities. They got it all. Voice command technology, directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how you can go that extra mile and how far it can really go. Mercedes-Benz van, go check out at the dealership for a test drive. Mercedes-Benz vans. Some equipment described is optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Johnny Manziel talks about taking money when he was at Texas A&M. Have that story for you coming up. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz Vans go far beyond, from their customization options to cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated senior writer covering college athletics, and I believe he was watching a basketball game or something that resembled a basketball game last night with Kansas and Kentucky. What's the takeaway from the basketball that you saw last night?
They told us it was basketball. I remain unconvinced after having been there. It was traumatic. I mean, it was as bad as it gets. Kansas won shooting 30%. Both these teams are not vintage versions of themselves. I mean, Kansas and Kentucky usually are national championship contenders. Maybe one or both of them will round into that form, Dan, but they're a long way from that now, which is actually par for the course for both of them, but especially Kentucky at this time of year. But Kentucky hasn't been 1-2, which they are now since Billy Gillespie was the coach. So this is the worst start they've had under Calipari. He doesn't have the horses that he usually has, it doesn't appear. So his annual kind of build from nothing to something is going to be a little bit steeper and more difficult this season.
Give me three players that we should keep an eye on in college basketball this year.
Three players. I think that obviously Luka Garza at Iowa, who put up 40-something in their game last week. You know, a lot of people surprised he stayed in school. He's not an unbelievable athlete, but boy, is he's got skill and will. He's tough. He's strong. He's relentless. I would say Jalen Suggs, freshman at Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is the best team, and he's the highest recruited player they've had there. And a little bit off the radar, but Cade Cunningham, another star freshman. He's at Oklahoma State, which is not eligible for the postseason, but he's really good, and he's going to be a very high draft pick.
Does Duke have one of those guys?
Not really. That's, you know, you look at Duke and you look at Kentucky, and you don't see – you sure don't see Zion Williamson. You don't see Anthony Davis. You don't see Karl Towns, you know, any of those sort of guys. You see a lot of good players who were highly recruited, but I don't think you see somebody who is going to be a superstar freshman and then a, you know, top three pick for either team.
All right, let's turn our attention to college football. You have the playoff selection show, week two here. There weren't any headlines until Kirk Herbstreit said the following.
I still think Michigan waves the white flag, potentially avoids playing Ohio State next week. And then, David, they'll potentially get a game on the 19th. They could be sitting there with six games. And Michigan, is that fair, David? Michigan could opt out, basically, of that game and keep Ohio State out of six games to qualify for the Big Ten championship. That doesn't make sense to me. But I think a lot of people wanted to see where Ohio State would be.
Your reaction to that, Pat?
Was, whoa, did I just hear that? I was watching it in real time, and I was like, did Kirk Herbstreit, the former Ohio State quarterback, just say that the arch rival is going to chicken out of playing one of the biggest rivalry games in college football? Wow. And so, you know, that was my thought. I immediately thought, well, there's a column. I sat down and started writing, especially Reese Davis followed up with the comment or the, you know, doubled down on that. And Kirk stuck with that line, basically saying that coaches are telling him that schools are using COVID as an excuse to avoid playing games they're going to lose or be humiliated in. And then he said, I don't really know about Michigan. And he later apologized for that.
Yeah.
But what it says to me, Dan, is everything about the messy end of this season, okay? There's a lot of people that probably really don't want to play. There are some teams that are probably using COVID as an excuse not to play. So that's probably true. But that was a pretty wild accusation, and it underscores the amount of suspicion and cynicism that we are going to be involved in for the next 2 or 3 weeks, because we are dragging this season to the finish line, and there's a lot of players and a lot of teams that really don't want to be there.
What is Michigan's status as far as being able to play football the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, they paused in-person activities Monday and Tuesday. Don't know whether they'll be back on the field today, Wednesday. So they are TBD for this week still. We'll see, you know, if they can get to their game Saturday against Maryland. Ohio State looks like now they're going to play after they missed last week. This is the kind of the state of the Big Ten right now is very tenuous. I mean, it's day to day about who's going to play. And usually if you miss 1 week, it could be a 2 week problem. You know, it looks like Ohio State may avoid that, but we will see with Michigan. Or do they play this week? And then obviously, do they play next week?
But also, Pat, I just wonder when we say, well, it's based on the eye test, it's based off your resume. If Ohio State only plays 4 or 5 games, I don't know how that playoff selection committee can honestly look at them and go, yep, they're one of the 4 best teams in the country. As much as we want to base this on, you know, past, the talent they have, who's the quarterback, they haven't done anything to distinguish themselves as one of the 4 best teams in the country when it's all said and done.
Right. No, I mean, that's the thing. You'd be looking at basically a half a resume compared to some other schools that have played literally twice as many games. You know, Brian Kelly was pretty interesting a couple of games ago, made a point when they got to 8, he said, we have played a Big Ten schedule. He made his point pretty clear that, you know, that the different number of games will be a major flashpoint, arguing point for the committee and for fans everywhere. And Gary Barta, the chair of the selection committee, did say last night that it's close for 4 between Ohio State and Texas A&M, which has lost but has played more games. So I think the committee's absolutely going to look at that, and that's going to be a down-to-the-wire discussion. I mean, if you're Ohio State, you really need to play every possible game you can.
I was also wondering, could you see a scenario where Florida beats Alabama and Clemson barely beats Notre Dame, and they would still all stay in the top 4, and they would cancel out Ohio State?
Yeah. Oh, I think that I think if Florida beats Alabama, that you would have a pretty strong argument for 2 SEC teams, and then absolutely a 5th Clemson. Like Notre Dame, I think, is really close to being in right now. You know, all they've got to do is
even
play
with
a
loss.
Even with a loss, as long as they don't get dump trucked. You know, if it's a 4 touchdown loss and Trevor Lawrence lights them up, and you can say, oh, that's the difference. Then that may preclude them. But if it's a close game and they have beaten Clemson once and lost to them once, I think they're pretty close to being in. And I think Alabama, same thing, as long as they could lose to Florida, as long as it didn't 56-0, which it wouldn't be. And I think probably still get in as well.
Kyle Trask, the Heisman, it's his to lose?
Probably. Boy, you know, me as a Heisman voter, I generally tend to wait until the last minute, and I want to see everything. But, I mean, he's been great. He is definitely the front runner. But, you know, Zach Wilson has been awfully good at BYU. He just doesn't quite have the platform. I still think Trevor Lawrence is the best player. Justin Fields is running up against the problem of enough reps, enough performances, enough stats. I think there's still enough several people I want to look at for the next couple of weeks before I decide.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm a Heisman voter as well. But if you would have said to me 2 years ago, Trevor Lawrence is going to leave Clemson and not have a Heisman trophy.
Yeah, shocking, really. You know what I mean? And especially hasn't been hurt and the team hasn't lost. You know, that's the kind of thing that it is very unusual to be in that situation. I still think he's going to get a lot of votes this year. I really do.
But do you think that this would be a career achievement award for Trevor Lawrence in some people's eyes?
It could be. It could be. You know, I mean, he's having a really good season. He just he missed a month. He didn't. There were two games that he didn't play, and then Clemson didn't play for a couple weeks. He's, I believe, ninth nationally in pass efficiency. He's doing well. It's just some other quarterbacks have had more opportunities and done a lot with them.
Always great to talk to you, Pat. Safe travels back home. We appreciate your time as always.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
That's Pat Forte, Sports Illustrated senior writer covering college basketball and college football. Speaking of basketball, Brad in North Carolina. Hey, Brad, what do you have for me today?
Hey, DP. You were talking about the state of how poor the basketball was yesterday. It's something that is equally as awful to the point that's almost awesome is the call with ESPN with Bill Walton. I want to know where I can get some of what he's smoking.
Well, just ask Bill. Thank you, Brad. I've known Bill a long time, and Bill has never changed. There were moments where he had some dips. He battled depression. He contemplated suicide. But his approach is different. It's not for everybody, but Bill is looking for fun. He's looking for the enjoyment. He grew up in a basketball world that was based off John Wooden and running a perfect style of offense and defense, playing the game the way it's meant to be when you open up a textbook. Bill doesn't see that very often anymore. We don't see that. But Bill still tries to have fun during a game. And sometimes the game is not very good, but Bill is. And Bill wants to be entertaining. I love him dearly. I've had great moments with him. I'm glad that he's healthy. He's positive. And like I said, I hear people say they either love him or they hate it with Bill. But I know the person, and I know where he's coming from. So I enjoy it. It's just different. Yeah, McLovin.
I heard him go from former Secretary of State Dean Rusk to Dan Pastorini, the quarterback, to Reese, a half-hour like recitation about Reese Davis being awesome. He was loose for even for him last night. It was great.
Yeah. Yes, Paulie.
There was a breakaway play, and he was in the middle of referencing Tolstoy, and he didn't stop to acknowledge the breakaway play. And then I turned it back on, and he was discussing the art of glass blowing. And I thought I was watching PBS covering the Duke game, and I was like, what's going on?
And Tolstoy was pretty good. He had a nice handle.
Ah,
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, Tolstoy, you know, he had a suspect jumper, but Tolstoy could he could play a little bit. Yeah, McLovin.
He was on that great Russian team that beat the U.S. in 72, I think.
72?
Yeah, the dangling participles, yeah.
I think he threw it to Alexander Belov. I think he threw the pass to Belov when he had the game-winning shot there. Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, you know, there's times when you go, okay, I'm going to sit and watch a game. I watched Indiana and Providence the other night. I tried to watch Indiana and Providence the other night. And I love watching basketball. I couldn't do it. You know, I'm watching the Maui Invitational, and granted, it's I know during these times it's not great basketball and they're just getting started and it's tough. And sometimes the announcer, you tune in for a game, and Bill Walton is one of those announcers. Certainly in college basketball, you'll tune in. Now, you may tune out, but you'll tune in. That sounds like something Bill would do. Does that sound like you tune in and tune out or whatever it is? Some Grateful Dead reference? Yes, Eden.
But there's something about these like high energy broadcasters and the missing crowd that aren't lining up. You know, where you've got a guy going nuts and it's completely silent in there. And you're like, man, like the energy is just not, even the players aren't that excited for the game.
Well, I wonder how Vital would sound. Like, prime peak Vital in an arena with no fans.
Well, I think, I'm pretty sure he did Kentucky, Kansas last night. And that wasn't, they were not on the same page.
Okay. That is right. Yeah, I was wondering if the players say to Dickie V, hey, can you quiet down over there? I can't hear myself thinking out here on the floor. Yeah, Paul.
Or does Dickie V go oppo and go,
he's not capable of doing it.
He sure did it, baby. No. This is awesome.
No, no.
You can hear it echoing.
He can't do it. Andy in Oregon.
It's awesome.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
6'9", 6'9", 310.
All right.
I've been listening to you talk about the basketball, and first off, I would like to thank you, being from Portland, for your appreciation of the 77 Blazers.
Oh, my favorite team of all time.
Incredible.
Yep.
Incredible team, and if you look back at that, I don't think Bob Gross gets enough credit for shutting down Dr. J in the fourth quarter of that game six. So you can look that back up, but I just want to give him a shout out.
Yep.
Secondly, you know, I was wondering, I'd like to get your thoughts on the negative or positive impact of our present day AAU situation on the demise of college basketball and subsequently the pros. You know,
well, I think it's hard to watch because their fundamentals are not stressed anymore. And I, look, did I want to have those drills over and over and over? No. But after a while, you know, by proxy, subconsciously, it seeps in and you start to play better basketball, smarter basketball, doing the right thing, set the right pick. Then you roll, cut off on the baseline, get a foot outside of the end line there. You know, just small things that I hated. But fundamentals are so lost because of AAU. And you watch a game. It's really tough to watch. I watch, you know, a lot of high school basketball. Whenever I can see that on, you know, DirecTV, where they have, you know, one of these games, it can be Sierra Canyon or somebody, and I'll go, okay, I'll watch it. There's an incredible amount of skill, but there is very, very little discipline. Very, very little. Nobody boxes out. Like, all the things that you were taught to do, they do work. But these players don't want to do that. Everything is a highlight. There's some bad shooters out there. Guys who should never shoot. And I go back to LaMelo Ball, his freshman year. I'm watching a playoff game. And I thought he had tremendous talent, but had no discipline. No fundamentals at all. But he was fascinating to watch. And here he is, the third pick overall in the draft. But that, to me, is kind of the prototypical, got a lot of talent, just throw it up there, break people down with your handle, do something fancy. Nothing's ever routine. Nothing. They don't want it to be routine. And as a result, it's bad basketball. And then you go to college for 1 year, but you're not there for 1 year. You're there for 6 months. Am I really going to listen? How much am I going to listen? How much can you teach me in 6 months? Because at that point, I'm 18 or 19 years of age, and I'm only stopping in for 1 year before I try the NBA. And then you get to the NBA. You used to be a finished product in the NBA. Like, you got there, you were ready to play in the NBA. You have kids who go to the NBA and they're still unfinished. And that's why we have bad basketball sometimes. That's why when we have good basketball, we go, wow, that was great basketball. Well, it used to be you passed and moved without the ball. Like, we saw what Golden State did. Well, basketball used to be where you pass, you move. You pass again, an extra pass here. And that's why I go back to the Portland Trailblazers with Bill Walton and Dr. Jack Ramsey as the head coach. To me, it was the finest performance of all-around basketball. They ran the ball. They played defense. They passed. They made the extra pass. And Portland was not a team full of stars. They had Mo Lucas and they had Bill Walton. But they had Dave Twardzik and Larry Steele and Bobby Gross, Lloyd Neal. They didn't have a roster full of stars. But they knew how to play the game. And that's why it was such a joy to watch. We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up after this. And Johnny Manziel talks about getting paid in college. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I think I'm overhyping the Johnny Manziel interview that he did with the YNK podcast and the former Heisman Trophy winner. I think Johnny Manziel is only 27 years of age. That sound about right, Paulie? Isn't that amazing?
You're right. Yeah, there's not even discussion of him playing football again or engaged by him.
And I'll go back how many years ago it was when he was going to Vegas. And I remember saying, I said, Paulie, if you can get Johnny Manziel privately, I'd like to just tell him that he's going to get to a point before he's 30 years of age and nobody's going to care about him. Yeah, Paulie.
Dan, you did have a couple talk back and forth with him via text, and I heard back and forth. He would always tell us the right things. Like when we would have him on in 2012 and 13 and 14 and 15, you every time we'd get done with the interview, you would say, you know what? He sounds good. And then you would say to yourself, but I feel like I'm being played.
Yeah, he's going to be irrelevant. And here he is, 27 years of age. Here's Manziel on the YNK You Never Know podcast.
There's a lot of guys who get exploited who get up because they can't make money in college.
Because they can't make money in college?
Dude, when I started making money in college, Mike Evans used to ask me if I could help him get his daughter diapers and like things to go through. A $700 stipend check a month doesn't cut it, bro. I took care of you take care of the boys.
So how are you getting bread?
I mean, that was the thing. That was the thing where I was like, yo, I'm going to go do what I need to do.
Right.
People come up to you. Comes up to you and says, yo, I got $5,000 for you to do something. I got $12.99 in my bank account. What do you think I'm going to say?
And now
where the bread at?
Least surprising story probably of the day or the week or the year that Johnny was getting money in college. I understand it. I mean, it happens a lot more than you think it does. The question I always wondered is, how does it happen? Because it used to be boosters had an opportunity to get closer to the athletes, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like the booster is a little more removed now. Now it's through shoe company, or it could be through an AAU coach or a high school coach. Yeah, Seton.
Johnny Manziel might have gotten one of the biggest hall passes of a college career of all time. Because not only was it like his lifestyle and partying, right? It was like, well, show me where it's affecting him on the field. Until it's affecting him on the field, I think he can do whatever he wants. And then, dude's flying all over the country. He's driving a Mercedes. He's like doing all this stuff. And it's like, what? His parents got money. Why would he take money? He's already rich. His parents have money. And he was given every possible hall pass a quarterback could get.
We love the story. We didn't want Johnny taken off the field. He was fascinating, I guess. That, you know, there are a lot of enablers. Yes, Paulie.
After his first year at A&M, one of the things he's referencing is there was an investigation of him taking a bag full of cash, supposedly $7,500 to $10,000, and there was video. TMZ had it. The investigation lasted most of the offseason going into his second and final year at A&M, and the result of the investigation was he was suspended for one half of the Rice game. The Rice game, and everyone said, well, he didn't take it. He said, I didn't take it. And the end, and NCAA said, we can find no evidence. We can't find the bag of cash.
Oh, God. And then you would just hear stories, and unless I had it and I had it from a reliable source, then, you know, I wasn't going with it. But man, you would just hear these stories and you go, and I've been doing this a long time, you know, going back to guys at Kentucky getting basketball, you know, money on the basketball team, to somebody I knew who got a Mercedes, those two seaters, beautiful Mercedes. Yeah, Paulie.
It should have tipped us off a little bit when Johnny Manziel's touchdown celebration was, I'm making cash with his fingers. I'm giving it out to the fellas.
So straight cash, homie.
Yep.
All right. Final hour coming up. More phone calls as well. Maybe change around the poll question. And still looks like we're having football this afternoon. One more item in the second hour, and it's Sleep Number. Quality sleep, more important than ever as we head into the holiday season. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but also helps with energy and recovery. Now, sleep is important. We know that. For a strong immune system. And in these times, you need a strong immune system. It's nature's way of helping your body fend off attackers, something we could all use now during the COVID-19 pandemic. The other part of this is make sure you have a great bed. Discover game-changing sleep. I did a few years ago. For a limited time right now, you can save up to $1,000 on the brand new Sleep Number 360 smart bed and base that goes along with it. Plus, special financing only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. My Sleep Number setting is 100, by the way. Just want to let you know. By the way, this subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments are required. See sleepnumber.com for details.